In an unusual event in the history of mankind, a person came back from the dead. And not only did he come from the dead, he predicted he would die, and on the third day rise, and he pulled it off. So that tells us that this is a special day. And the other thing is we have some of our people getting baptized to proclaim their faith in Jesus. And so we're excited about that as well. Now, as you take your seat, if you could push in, I know you get that, just push in so the middle seats are filled, and we have people coming in, and there's nowhere to put them, and so we do have some seating issues, so if you could help us out, just push into the middle, that would be really appreciated today. We put all our chairs out, I think, so if you could help us out, that would be great. Now, for some of you, my name's Ed, I'm the senior pastor here. For some of you, I realize you've never seen a baptism before, or you've never seen a bigger person, a teen or an adult, be baptized. And so maybe nobody's, and maybe you have seen it, but nobody's ever explained it to you, so I want to do that today. And so I was thinking, how can I best explain it to you? And I thought if I showed you this image, you would fully understand baptism. So I want to see that my image up on the screen, please. The logo, could I have the look? There we go. So now, is it clear? Is it clear? No, it's not clear. So what, see, you cheered because even without the words that are usually on it, you knew what the logo represents, don't you? It's a logo that is a symbol of identity, and it's a symbol of hope for people that follow the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, for identity, it's because if you take that logo, even without the words, the Toronto Maple Leafs on it, and you put it on a hat or a jersey or a flag, or you paint it on your body and take your shirt off, and like whatever you do, you people know what you're saying. I belong to the Leafs. I am a Leafs fan. My allegiance is with the Leafs, and that's the identity that you want people to know. So if you happen to be able to score tickets for this afternoon, don't admit it, because you may not get out of here alive. But if you happen to score tickets today and you put on your Leafs jersey and you go down and you stand up and you cheer wildly when the Leafs score and you cheer wildly when the Leafs win, will people around you go, wow, what's wrong with that person? No. No, nobody's going to say that. The people around you are probably going to be in Leafs jerseys too, and they're going to cheer with you, and they're going to be screaming and yelling, and people you've never met before high-fiving and hugging and the whole bit. It's just, we lose all our Canadian decorum at a hockey game. It just goes out the window. But if you wore your Leafs jersey and you went to that game, and every time Boston scored, and if Boston won the game, and you were cheering wildly, what would happen to you? At least somebody would tell you to sit down and shut up. And somebody would say to you, take the jersey off, because you went in there proclaiming, I identify with the Leafs, but you're cheering for the wrong team. It's a symbol of identity. But it's also a symbol of hope. In the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, a lot of years, there's been more losses than wins, and a lot of first round, if you got into the playoffs, there was a lot of first round exits, and people were losing really hope, like people still wore the jerseys, but not in public, that kind of thing, but there's been a change. It's like the resurrection of a hockey team. The Maple Leafs Sports Entertainment hired Brendan Shanahan in April 2014. And then shortly thereafter, he proclaimed, we are going into a five-year rebuilding program. We're going to take this team apart. We're going to rebuild it. I think one of his first moves was to hire Babcock, which to me was the most significant move for the franchise, because they brought a person in who believed, who knew how to win and believed that we could win. And everybody's feeding off that ever since. Lou Lamoriello came in. And then it was Marner. And Anderson was signed, and then Marner, and then Matthews, and then signing of Tavares, and all the other pieces are in place. So now, when people, I don't hear people say, you know, if the Leafs ever win the cup, I'll do my happy dance. I hear them saying, when the Leafs win the cup, I'm going to do my happy dance. So it's now become a symbol of hope that something is going to change and make happen. So right now, you may be asking, what has this got to do with baptism? You said you were going to explain baptism. You're just talking about the Leafs. Well, the logo that I showed you is a symbol of hope and identity. The baptisms that you're about to see are a symbol. So a lot of people think baptism is how you, if you're religious, how you, you know, please God, and it's a step for how you get into heaven. That's the general understanding of baptism. It's completely false. Baptism is not a step for heaven. It's not how you get a God's approval. It's rather a symbol of identity and a symbol of hope. In the book of Acts, Peter, the apostle Peter, is preaching a sermon. I'm going to pick it up at the very end. You'll see it on the screen behind me. We are witnesses of everything he, meaning Jesus, did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, which happened on Friday. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. That in itself, the resurrection of a person from death back to life. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and dead. And all the prophets, all the Old Testament prophets, spoke about him. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. And when Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message, and the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, and for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit. They have received God, just as we have. And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. See, baptism is a symbol of identity. Notice when Peter told them to be baptized. They saw that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. These people were professing that they now believed in Jesus, that he rose from the dead, and that his death and resurrection provides the forgiveness of sins. And when that was true about them, Peter said, well, they got to be baptized now. It was after they had already come to God and settled their sin issue with God. After, because baptism is not a means of grace, not a way we please God or get into heaven. It's a statement about what's true in, of ourselves and our relationship with God. It's a statement of identity. And so as you see 10 people being baptized today, you're going to listen to their stories, and all of them are going to say that they have changed their allegiance, their identity, and they are now submitting their life to follow Jesus, and they want to make that public, and so they're going to do it by baptism, because baptism is a symbol of a person who identifies with Jesus Christ and follows him. Baptism is also a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of hope. Jesus, we told right from the start of this story, Peter says, they put him to death, but he rose from the dead, and he conquered sin, and he conquered Satan, and he conquered the grave. And now he offers forgiveness of sins to those who are willing to believe on his name. And the hope that we have for those of us who call ourselves and have chosen to be followers of Jesus, our hope is that in Jesus is the forgiveness of sins and new life and reconciliation with God. And when a person goes into the baptism tank and comes out, they're saying, I identify with Jesus, and I have my hope is in him. This is a symbol of hope. But all my sin issues are dealt with at the cross by Jesus, and I am now forgiven, and I have a new relationship with God, and I'm his child. So it's a symbol not only of hope or of identity, it's also a symbol of hope. But it's a symbol in a way that Leafs logo is not a symbol. And it's a symbol in that it's a witness to us. You see, all these people are going to sit in the tub. They're going to be baptized. They're going to tell their story about how they met Jesus and why they chose to follow him. And in every story, you're going to hear that the person realized that my sin separated me from God. Because Scripture teaches that. And then we are going to stand before Jesus at the end of our lives. When we're done here, we go to stand before Jesus, who is called the judge of the living and the dead. And we will give account of our lives. And none of us, there's one thing we all know here, is we're all sinful. We're all imperfect. And so what will you do about that sin? how you give account of it to God. Each person being baptized says, I realized I couldn't give account of it before God. There's nothing I can do to earn forgiveness. And so I heard the message that Jesus, the message was so bad I couldn't believe it, that my sin is going to separate me from God and I'll stand before him and have to give account. But it's also so good I could hardly believe it, that the judge stepped out of the judge's seat and he came to the cross where he took my sin, the sins of the whole world, including my sin, and died to pay the penalty for my sin. And that if I would believe in him and choose to follow him, that my sins would be forgiven and I would have new life. He took what I and got what I deserved, and I get what he deserves, eternal life. And so this is a witness, as they are symbolized, it's a witness of the fact that each one of us has to choose. Each one of us has to choose what we're going to do with Jesus. And each of these people has chosen what they're going to do with Jesus. Now, Naya, thank you for coming up and standing. So if you want to come, and who's ever with Naya, Zach, and Zach's going to introduce and baptize Naya.
Let's give her a Springville Baptist welcome. It can be a wee bit intimidating at first. Come on in. Come on up, Naya.
All right, if you just want to take a seat right there. So just for you.
Hi, my name is Naya and I'm 12 years old. Last summer, my mom and I left a very difficult situation where my stepfather was physically and emotionally abusive towards us. We had to move to a new home and I had to start at a new school. We decided at that point to return to church and have God more present in our lives. We had not been to church in over 4 years because my stepfather was against it. We felt sad about not having God more active in our lives, but both me and my mother never really spoke about it. Since returning, my relationship with God has grown stronger and stronger every day. I'm much more confident, and I decided to start playing basketball. I even tried out for the basketball team at school. I was so happy when I found out I made the team. He has blessed me with so many things, and I'm very grateful. I have now decided that I want to get baptized to show my love and commitment to Jesus Christ.
That's amazing. Naya, have you chosen to follow... Yes, church. Woo! Have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay.
Here comes a true Leaf fan, this guy right here.
I'm going to be reading this story.
Okay.
My name is Tristan Schrepfer, and I'm 16 years old, and I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. I was walking with my mom and brother when our dog Bailey just fell down and stopped walking. She died that afternoon, and I was really upset. I really missed her and wanted to see her. So I asked my parents, will we see her again? They explained we would see Bailey in heaven. I asked, how do we get to heaven? And my parents explained that by believing in Jesus, we go to heaven when we die. I remember from Sunday school that I learned about Jesus and how he loves me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I realized that I would like to go to heaven, and that evening I asked Jesus into my heart. Later in life, I realized believing in Jesus meant more than just only seeing my dog in heaven. Jesus died for us all, and not just so that we could get into heaven, he paid the price for our sins, which is unbelievable when you think about it. And as I get older, I can see him working in my life. Last year, our hockey team made it to the finals, and we lost in the shootout. Being a goalie, it was really hard on me. It took me a long time to get over it, and it can still affect me at times. I have learned that sometimes in life we will win, and sometimes we will lose. In life, we need to learn not to get upset and to have faith in God in our everyday lives. God teaches us to be calm, and He gives us peace. Every day, I am faced with temptations and challenges, but the choices I make lead me closer to God. As Christians, we stand out, and we live our lives differently than those around us. I want to thank my mom and my dad for teaching me about Jesus and that He loves me and why He is so important. I'm being baptized today because I feel it's the right time. I've always wanted to be baptized on Easter Sunday morning because it reminds me of Jesus being risen. If you're not a Christian, my hope for you would be that you would think about my story and think about what Jesus can do in your life. Don't let Satan blind you and listen to what Jesus can do for you. Let go of what you're holding on to so you too can be free.
Tristan, have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I had to push his head in.
This one's Taylor.
Yeah, here is Taylor Clark. There we go. You stand in there.
My name is Taylor. My name is Taylor Grace Clark, and I live in Newmarket with my family. In the 12 years of my life, God has worked in ways that many people don't experience until later on in life. The pastor of the church I grew up in often told me that I was a miracle child. I didn't know what that meant at the time. But my mom told me that when she was 6 months pregnant with me, the doctor told her that I was going to be born with deformities and mental disabilities, that I may not live past the first year of my life. He told her that she should end the pregnancy. My parents told the doctor that it was against what they believed, and they asked friends and family to pray. My dad fasted from eating all junk food until I was born, and trust me, my dad likes his sweets. I may have had more people praying for me before I was born than most people haven't had in their entire lives. My middle name is Grace because God is gracious and He loves His children, and so He gave my parents a gift of peace as they waited for me to be born. I don't remember very much about my life before Christ because I was only 5 years old when I asked Him to become part of my life. I was at Camp Careth, an overnight camp, where I spent my first week away from home, and my siblings were there too. We were sitting around the campfire, and Dipper, the director at the time, was talking about Jesus and how He's like our second father, only He loves us more than anyone else on this earth could, that He died for us so that we could live forever with Him and forever in heaven, and that if we asked Him to become part of our lives, it would be made possible. And so that night, it's exactly what I did. In January of last year, my parents made the transition to Springvale because there was no youth my age at our church. In the grade above were 5 or 6 rowdy boys, and the grade below consisted of 3 or 4 more boys, and one girl, whose name, ironically, was also Taylor. Sunday school teachers often referred to us as Taylor 1 and Taylor 2. My parents knew that as a teenager, friendship in the church was something of great importance in life, so leaving all their friends behind, they made the big decision to come to Springvale. This place has changed me in ways that you can only imagine, and whether it sounds cheesy or not, I have a couple friends now who seem like they've come from my dreams. But what people don't know is that about 5 months before we decided to come to Springvale, I started praying for a Christian girl in my grade to become my friend. That soon became part of my prayers every night before bed. But little did I know of the plans God had in store for me. My journey so far has proven to me that God really does work miracles and that He really is in control of everything that happens to His children. One night, while I was reading my devotions, I came across a verse, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, in which Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I realized that night that if baptism is what God has commanded me to do, then why should I wait?
That's amazing. So we have Trevor baptizing Taylor. Trevor's her father. And so, Taylor, have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay. On that basis, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you just tell us, like, what's going on here?
I broke my thumb because it got smashed in a door.
Okay, so we're going to be careful about that. All right, ready?
Okay. Hi, my name is Katrina Ramble. I'm 11 years old. I'm from a Christian family, and I've been a Christian for most of my life. I'm the youngest in my family of five. I have two older siblings who have both been baptized and two parents. I don't remember most of my life before I was 7 or 8, except that my brother smashed a TV over my head. But I would go to church and learn about God, and I would start to believe. But in about grade 2, I was more interested in other things like Rainbow Loom. So I was drawn to other things and started to drift away. When I was about 7, I was at Adventure Camp, and my leaders explained to me what being a Christian meant. Later that day, I accepted Christ. And later that summer, my Sunday school explained further what it meant. This year in science, we were learning about evolution. And the thing was, everything was very interesting. There was their theory of how the Earth got made, and I started to believe it all. So we started watching them daily, because we have science daily. And all I thought was, that is so cool. And of course, the more we watched, the more I believed. But then, I went to church, and I was helping out that day in the ages 3 to 4. So what I'm trying to get at is even the simplest story, even if it's told for younger children to hear, it's still very important and very effective. I've now decided to take this step of obedience and serve Jesus. Now I'm taking a step further as I explore my journey with my Savior.
That's amazing. And have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, on that basis, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now we have Sadie and Tara.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sadie Raymond. I'm 11 years old, and I have grown up at Springville Baptist Church and in a Christian family. I have been going to this church all my life and accepted the Lord into my heart with my mom when I was 4 years old. Throughout my journey with Christ, I have had ups and downs. Over the years, I was bullied at my old school, but it helped me to trust God more. My trust in Him gave me strength and hope so that I could stand against my battles. Since I was bullied in more areas of my life, it gave me power to be bigger than that and helped me show power. I learned more about God every day because He provided money for me to come to Stouffville Christian School. God helps me with school, sports, and friends because I know that He is always by my side. At this church, a woman named Tara Morin has helped me throughout all these years to learn, trust, and believe in God. A way that I keep up with God is just praying to Him. I know He will help me if I pray and trust Him. Getting to learn about God is the most amazing thing anyone could ask for. Learning about God with my sister Elsie are memories I can never forget. The reason why I think that I should get baptized is to be clean from my dark robe and to show you that I am a child of God. A verse that has helped me over the years is, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Thank you and have a wonderful morning.
Amazing. And Sadie, have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, on that basis, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
okay. If you can sit down, go ahead. I mean, is that not something to be excited about?
Yeah.
To lift the name of Jesus, who rose from the dead and offers us forgiveness of sins and new life, and he is going to return. And so let's see. We have the next group. Steve, if you want to come, and so we can share. Sounds like you know a few people here, Steve.
Never met them. I was born into a fantastic...
Hold it. Can you hear that? No.
Try this one.
It was fantastic. I was born into a fantastic Christian home, just a few minutes from here. Life in our small farming community was an awesome playground to grow up in. My parents built our home in the orchard of the Hoover Farm, which made me the eighth generation to live on the property. My earliest memories of the Wideman Mennonite Church has Keith Reeser and I sneaking down to the back of the church and sliding down the riverbank without getting our church clothes dirty. With high school looming ominously ahead of me, I decided to be baptized in the summer of grade 8. I had always believed that Jesus died on the cross for me, and having grown up in a church, I really didn't think it was that big of a decision. When asked, I seriously could never pinpoint the exact time that I gave my life to the Lord, mostly because it's all I'd ever known. When I look back, I probably thought it was a good idea to get baptized because a lot of people had told me that going into high school that fall would be a pretty scary transition with all the drugs and the alcohol and the parties around. So I was baptized by sprinkling. Well, it ended up that I went through high school without too many issues. Actually, it was right full of church kids due to all the youth groups in the Markham Stovall area, which was pretty cool. I was a fairly nerdy teenager, but I am proud to say that I had a pickup truck, motorcycle, snowmobile, and a dune buggy all before my 17th birthday. It was pretty easy to make a buck because there were a lot of farmers in the area. At the age of 21, I decided that my motives for baptism weren't right. I remember talking to some of my cousins at a youth retreat about whether or not us lifers who were raised in the church from infants were just doing the church thing from habit. I then reevaluated my life and was baptized again by sprinkling, knowing full well that this was my decision this time. Fast forward to when Jenny and I got married at Springville, it was no question that we would stay here. Jenny was a member and I was happy to be an adherent. A number of years ago, I met with Pastor Bob with regards to becoming a member. In order to meet the requirements of membership, I would need to be baptized by immersion. I thought to myself, baptized for the third time. What will people think? So as you can see, I left it. Jump to the present. I was moved recently while watching people from our church become members and listening to Pastor Ed explain what membership meant. I guess you could say that God kind of gave me a nudge and said, what are you doing? It's time. I studied scripture and realized baptism is by immersion, not sprinkling. That may not seem like an important difference to you, but I believe it is important to obey Jesus as he says. So I'm following his prompting. Today I wish to be baptized as recognition and reaffirmation, which not only honors my previous baptisms, but rededicates my life to Jesus.
So, Steve, have you chosen to follow Christ?
Certainly have.
Fantastic. And third one's the charm. So on that basis, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Daisy, when you're done.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Good morning, my fellow brothers and sisters of Christ. My name is Paul Enrique Pera, born and raised in Toronto. My life before knowing Christ, I was all about women, parties, sex, and drugs. One night, our Father drew me into a very vivid dream. In other words, it was a vision I had. In the beginning of this vision, I saw myself in a pitch black area. Then after, I saw this evil face smiling at me. When all this was all happening, I was terrified. I was also paralyzed. I couldn't move. I knew this devil-like face was controlling me. During this, my partner at the time was watching me twitch and move very rapidly. When all this was happening to me, I wanted to escape and I couldn't. During this era of my life, my sister had been praying for me to see the light, the truth, to change my old ways. During this radical vision, I wanted to yell my sister's name, but suddenly I yelled out the Lord's name, Jesus Christ. And as soon as I yelled out his holy mighty name, I broke free from this vision. I woke up crying. I was drenched in sweat as I came out of the shower without drying myself. My partner then asked me why I yelled hard, Jesus Christ. When all was over, I knew I had something changed in me. I wanted to know more about Jesus. I would say in a 1 to 2 month period, I saw changes in me. I stopped all the bad things I was doing. I prayed to the Lord for a true godly woman, and he sent me her. And now I've been married for 3 years to a wonderful wife. I'm more happy in my life, and Jesus always is in my mind. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing me and changing my life. I love you, Jesus. You're my number one.
That's awesome. So, Paul, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah, most definitely, yes. That's amazing. All right, so on that basis, we're excited to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Daisy. I am from Colombia. I have been in Canada for 1 year. I was born in a Catholic family that deeply loves God, and they have taught me that without God and his love, we are nothing. My parents would tell me that I should always act with God in mind. I have had very painful experience, the divorce of my parents and sexual abuse when I was a child. This have marked my life. And some time ago, I was wondering how could I overcome them? How can I get up today feeling happy? And the only answer is God. For a long time, I felt empty in my relationship with God. And I decided to undertake the search for that which would fill my life and make me connect with God, with him. A few years ago, a cousin took me to a very special church in Colombia. At this place, I really felt at peace. And that is where I decided to welcome Jesus in my heart and to give him total control of my life. Today is a very important day for me because today I decide to get baptized and declare to the world that I surrender my life to God and that I give him everything I am. Y quiero decir gracias a mi familia en Colombia, aquí en Canadá, porque siempre han estado conmigo, siempre me han apoyado, me han amado y me han enseñado que Jesús es la verdad, el camino y la vida. Y Dios los bendiga.
That's amazing, Daisy. So you clearly have chosen to follow Christ, but I have to ask you, have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely, yes. So on that basis, we're excited to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. right, so we have Olivia and Shrep here.
Children usually think that being a good Christian means that you go to church and pray daily, read your Bible, and etc. However, a true Christian who is authentic about their faith will go out and bring those they know to the Lord. I was one of those unusual children who would invite friends to fun church night and Christmas plays about the gospel. But I never realized that there was a deeper meaning behind it. After all, I was only 8. Being baptized means dying of your old body and gaining a new one, signifying that you are changed and clean and going out to make new believers. Many people struggle with that, and it's hard. However, I hope my baptism will encourage you to take this step of obedience, for God gives us the command that all Christians are to be baptized. Sometimes when people I talk to ask me about faith and sharing the gospel, I think of it as an ocean and that everyone is drowning. Everyone who is in this room has been rescued and nourished with the word of God, free from the cold waters that used to grasp onto them. However, there are people who are still drowning, and God is asking us to ignore our own self-desires and to jump back in, just like I am about to do, rescuing other people just like he did before they do drown and it's too late. So I ask you this. You are here on Easter Sunday hearing about all these amazing stories of people being changed in their heart, but I want you to remember something about me. I don't want it to be my origins or even my face. I want you to remember to ask yourself when you will be willing to jump back in the ocean if you haven't already, because as Christian, it is what God calls us to do, to rescue and to change lives.
Fantastic. Here, I'll hold your glasses. So, Olivia, have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I mean, obviously.
Obviously, sorry. Well, on that basis, it's our joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Meredith McNaughton. I'm 51 years old. My life and journey with God has been a roller coaster ride. I was born into a neutral faith family. I was christened as a baby in the Anglican Church. I recall as a very young child attending Easter and Christmas services, but that was the limit of our interaction with God. When I moved to Stouffville as a young child, I met my first best friend, and under her family wings, I started my first journey with the Lord. Some of my best memories of that time include Sunday school, summer Bible school, and multiple years at Camp Kakwa, a Christian-based camp. Unfortunately, in our preteen years, my dear friend moved on to a Christian school, and my exposure and relationship with God dwindled. It was not until I met the father of my two beautiful girls that I chose to investigate a relationship with God again. We were both confirmed in the United Church and felt our journey with God was going to provide us with the strength and guidance to a happy, fulfilled life as a couple and as parents. Unfortunately, we were the victims of Generation X, and after my husband lost his job for the third time, we became faithless and angry with God. We were faced with the stress of being new parents and under incredible financial strain. I regretfully made many bad choices during this time, including being unfaithful, which ultimately led to the demise of our marriage. I have since lived many, many years without any faith. That all changed in October of 2016. My youngest daughter very suddenly became gravely ill. It took close to 2 weeks before she was diagnosed with a very rare form of encephalitis. While spending every moment by my daughter's side in the ICU, my very dear friend, Heather King, gifted me with the book Jesus Calling, along with her first Bible. It was after watching my child be airlifted from our local ICU to a Toronto ICU, where they had some but limited knowledge of her illness, that I turned to both of these very special books. My daughter was declining rapidly, and her family was told that we needed to prepare for the worst. I was staying at a hotel very near the hospital, and after being told that day that I might lose my baby girl, I was at a complete loss. I recall reaching out to both Heather and my other dear friend here, Cindy, and asked them both, how do I pray? In short, they both told me to just start speaking to God, and that is exactly what I did. I stood on the balcony of that downtown hotel and cried and prayed and begged for God to show mercy on my daughter. After 6.5 months in 3 different hospitals, my daughter came home, and after almost 1.5 years of from onset, God granted me not only my wish of survival, but 100% recovery. God blessed me. God blessed me. God blessed all of us with a true miracle. I started attending Springville in June of 2017 after attending an amazing women's Christian retreat called Hearts of Beauty. It was at this retreat in front of my dear friend Heather and a group of amazing women that I declared Jesus as my Savior. Today, in front of all of you, I solidified that declaration by stepping into this water of baptism and committing my life to the one who died to rescue me. Today, I again declare that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. After the worst time of my life, all alone on that hotel balcony, I know today I will never, ever be alone again.
That's amazing. Woo. So you kind of said it already, but let's just go through it again. Have you chosen to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I most certainly have.
That's amazing. And on that basis, we're excited to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What an amazing morning. I don't think there's many dry eyes in here. God is clearly at work in our midst. Is this not been an amazing morning together so far? Can we thank God for what he's doing here in our community? It's such an amazing opportunity to hear those specific stories, those bold stories. So for those this morning that took that step, thank you. That was encouraging, I know, for myself and for many of us here. And maybe you're here for the first time or visiting, and you're sensing there's something here. There's something drawing me in. I want to learn more. On and around your seat, there's a connection card. And we would be honored if you would fill that out and take it to the back after the service to the welcome desk. There you're able to learn more about what we do here at Springville, what the opportunities there are for you to get connected to, and not only here in Springville and in our church community, but in our community outside of these walls. One of those opportunities, those ministry opportunities that we partner with is an organization called Bridge North. And it's a Christian organization here in Canada that looks to end sexual exploitation in Canada. If you return one of these cards this morning, we're going to make a donation on your behalf to that organization. It's such a great opportunity. At this time, we're going to receive this morning's offering, so I invite the ushers up this morning. This is a time for those who call Springville home to say thank you to God and partnering with local church, giving him back what he has given to us. So at this time, I'm going to pray for this morning's offering. God, we are so humbled to be here in your presence, in this community that you're clearly moving in. God, for the many lives here that have declared the way that you've touched them deeply, that you've brought them out of trials, brought them out of darkness, into your light, God, into life. We say thank you. God, for the way that you've blessed us, the way that we can come and worship freely, we are so grateful. God, we just pray that you would take our gift this morning and multiply it far beyond what we can all do on our own. We thank you. Amen. Bless you as you give this morning, church. Well, it's been a full morning watching how God is at work in people's lives. But, you know, the reality is that once we make this declaration, we have to live our lives. And I don't know if any of you ever have trouble in your life as a follower of Jesus, or even if you're not a follower of Jesus. In particular, do you ever have trouble in your relationships? Do you ever have trouble and conflict with you and your spouse or your siblings or with your children or with your parents, with your boss, with your employee, like your neighbor, the mother of the other child on the dance team? Yeah, conflict. You're sitting there, duh, like conflict is just seems to be a part of our lives. But there seems to be conflict, and then there's those conflicts that we just can't seem to figure out and get through. It just, the more we touch it, the worse it gets. How we respond and how other people respond determine the level of the conflict. And I want to talk briefly with you about that. Crystal and I had three young boys and had no idea how you raise three young boys. And so, of course, we were asking questions, reading books, trying to figure out how do we become good, effective parents for these three lives that have been entrusted to us by God for 20 or 25 years. We got a hold of a book, and the basic idea of the book was you need to shepherd the heart of your child. And I thought, hey, that's a great idea, a great metaphor, shepherding the heart of our child. And they explained in the book, essentially, that your child will tend to disobey and that you need to provide discipline for every single time that they disobey because it creates boundaries and security for the child. And then they will have peace if you provide discipline on every single thing they do wrong. And we thought, well, okay, let's give this a try. And we tried it for 2 days. I was a wreck because every time I turned around, I had to be disciplining. I have three boys. I told you that, right? Every time I turn around, I'm disciplining something. And sometimes for the stupidest stuff that I normally wouldn't, you know, I just laugh at. But, you know, I got to shepherd their heart and I'm disciplined. And of course, what it's doing is making me exhausted and driving a wedge between me and them. And they're withdrawing. And I tell in just 2 days, they're starting to feel very insecure. And I finally, Crystal and I looked at each other and we just threw the book in the garbage and began to pray that they would never remember these 2 days and our failed parent attempt. Fast forward more than a decade. I won't say which one, but one of my sons is a teenager, going hard at Crystal and I because he wanted something. And he kept asking and asking and asking. I can't even remember what it was. And I kept saying, no, no, no. And finally, he stomped up the stairs. I still remember, boom, 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 stomping up the stairs, walked into his room, bam, slammed the door in anger. In fact, so hard that my neighbor called to say, did you feel that earthquake tremor that was how? Now, I knew I wasn't, I knew the disrespect of that slamming door had to be dealt with. I just didn't know how. And so I was thinking about it, and I was trying to calm down, and then I remembered how Crystal's dad had dealt with slamming of doors with her and her brothers and sisters. And so I went out to the garage, I went to my toolbox, I got my hammer, and I got a screwdriver, and I went up, and I took the door off the hinges. And he was like, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's not right. And I said nothing. I just said, what's not right is the disrespect you showed me in slamming that door. And so I took the door off, didn't say any more than that. And then I went downstairs and I went back out in the garage. I know I was doing something. Crystal came to me about an hour later. And she said, come on in. You got to see this. So I walk up at the door. And he has taken the closet door off the hinges and put it on the door. Now, the closet door is narrow compared to the bedroom door, and so it only covers just a little over half of the space. And as he saw me looking, he said, well, you didn't say I couldn't take the closet door off. You just said I couldn't put the other door back on. And I said, well, yeah, you got a point. And so I kind of chuckled to myself. But see, there was still a big gap in the door, and the light was coming in, and, you know, there was no privacy. And so finally, 2 days later, he came to me, and he apologized, and he said, can I have have my door back? And I said, yes, you can put both doors back to where they belong, to which he did. And, you know, we kind of chuckled over it, and there was no bad blood. There wasn't anger and the confrontation going on. And we just kind of laughed about it, and he's never slammed a door since. And so I've pondered that, and I thought, why is it in one case there was this frustration and anger and anxiety and this distance happening between me and my son over conflict, and in the other one, I mean, he totally different response. We're laughing, he apologizes, he doesn't slam the door again, he's got a great attitude toward me after he calmed down. And I'm thought, well, why the difference? And obviously I reacted differently in both situations, that's for sure, but there's more than that, because my teenage son did not like me taking the door off of his room, and yet there was no big explosion and everything else. And I thought, what was the difference? I came to find out that a man who lived 3,000 years ago by the name of Solomon has written extensively on relational conflict and relational issues. His wisdom is encompassed in a book called Proverbs in the Old Testament. And he says, generally, there are three types of people. I mean, there's many different kinds of people, but generally, from a scriptural point of view, there are three kinds of people. There's the wise, there's the foolish, and there's the evil. And each person reacts to situations differently. The wise act one way, the foolish another, the evil another. And that when you go into conflict, depending on which type of person you're dealing with, you will get a different response. No matter how good you are in a conflict situation, a person will respond that you can't control a person's response, and they will respond out of who they are. One of the verses that talks about this in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. And Solomon writes, again, one of the wisest people to ever live, whoever corrects a mocker or a fool invites insults. So if you're going to get into conflict, if you're going to have a set-to with somebody who's foolish or is a mocker, they will respond with insults. But whoever rebukes a wicked will incur abuse. So if you get into a set-to or conflict with somebody who is wicked at their heart, they will respond with abuse. And so he says, don't rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, they will love you. Instruct the wise, they'll be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Foolish people, when you get into conflict, when you try to correct them, when you try to instruct them, when you try to deal with an issue, they will respond with insult. They will respond back, even it says, with hatred. Now, they're not going to make fun of your haircut. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is a foolish person always has an answer back for the words that you have to say. The defining characteristic of a foolish person is, I know. In Proverbs, I know. No matter what you're going to tell them, no, I know. And so they're defensive and they push back. And by hate, they're not, it's not, the word doesn't mean that they'll absolutely despise you. It means they will reject what you have to say to them. They will not receive you in what you're saying. And so when you're dealing with a foolish person, they will typically respond in an argument. It's an invitation to argue, to fight, to battle. Because that's how the heart of the foolish respond. I know, so I don't need to hear from you. But the wise are different, or the wicked or the evil are different. Solomon says you'll incur abuse when you deal with a wicked or an evil person. Whereas a foolish person will engage and respond verbally, an evil person responds with action. And that might sound good if I stopped it there, but their actions are abusive. Sometimes it's physical abuse, sometimes verbal abuse. They'll usually manipulate try to undermine your position, talk bad about you, attack your character, speak evil of you, say things that are not true of you. The point of the evil person is to push you down and shut you up so you do not say or do anything to make you afraid. Where a fool will respond with words, the evil respond with actions. But the wise respond with love or learning. They're open. They receive from you what you have to say. It says the wise consider it a privilege to be rebuked. It doesn't mean they like it. It means that they understand that they could be wrong and they need to listen. There may be an emotional pushback initially, but they'll calm down and they'll hear what you have to say. They'll receive. They may not agree with you, but they'll at least listen. So what's this got to do with anything? Well, when you're dealing with conflict in your life, and just think about the person you're in conflict with. You know, when you're getting along with people, it's easy. Like when everything's good, it's easy to get along. It's when you have a conflict or a challenge or you need to correct. That's where the trouble will come. When there's an issue between you and you need to talk about it. Of course, Scripture will tell you that you need to prepare your heart. You need to go into it right. But it also says that the person you're talking to will respond out of their heart. And if they're foolish, they'll be verbal and they'll reject and they'll fight and they'll argue. If they're evil, they will reject and they'll power up and they'll attack. But if they're wise, they will listen. Now, I'm going to take a wild guess, that you have some conflict in your life, that you're struggling through an issue with somebody, and you can't just seem to settle it. This is just one of the many verses in Scripture. And I believe that in learning how, what makes a foolish and a evil and a wise person, it will not only help us figure out how to be wise, because really, don't we want to be the wise person? Don't we want to respond in a mature and a healthy way, even if it's hard to receive? Don't we want to be wise? So it teaches us we can learn how to be wise, but we can also learn from the book of Proverbs how to deal with people who are foolish, and how do you deal with them when they are evil. And over the next several weeks, all through to the end of May, we're going to be in these Solomon sessions, which are times to look at the wisdom of Solomon and how it applies to our relationships. And I think the touch point for us is particularly in times and in relationships when there's conflict or that uneasiness, or we're trying to deal with something and we don't seem to be moving ahead. And so I want to invite you to join us over the next number of weeks to listen to the wisdom of Solomon that can change the trajectory of your life and the relationship that you're in by the wisdom that he gives. You are welcome to join us here every Sunday at 10. Or bring somebody who you think, you know, I wouldn't recommend saying, you know, your life's a mess, you need to come to church with me. Say, hey, we're learning about relationships. Wonder if you're interested. Now, one of the practices that we have here after we do a baptism service like this is we close our service by having all of our people that were baptized come to the front, and then all the family and friends and people that know them, they gather around each person, and we put our hands on them, and we pray over them as a whole congregation. We just unite in prayer over them. So for those of you that were baptized, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and I want you to just fan out over across this whole front. Now, don't stand close to each other if you're baptized, because you got a whole bunch of people that want to get around you. So if just fan out. That's that, Taylor. Come on over here. Now, if you're a friend or a family member, you didn't have to be involved today. You're just a friend or family member. You're here to support. Why don't you come up and just put your hand around these people and on their shoulder. That's that. Thank you for moving that direction. If you guys can move that direction, that's great. Thank you. Catriona, right here. Catriona, right here. Yes, thank you. If you want to come up. Yeah. The reason we do this is you have had a part in their life of helping them move. So let's just keep moving through. We've got some people crowded right here. We'll just find a way to get you in here. You have had a part. All these people have had a part in the lives, and maybe some of you are sitting there have had that a part in their lives. And you just gathering around them is the way to say, we support you. We're excited for you. We're glad for the step that you have made as we pray over them. So I'll just give you a chance to get to the people that have are part of your family or your friendship. If you can't get directly to the person, just put your hand on somebody that's has their hand on them, kind of, you know, the hand on the hand. And so, okay, let's pray together, shall we? In fact, I'll get everybody to stand. Let's stand with these people. Our Father, we are so thankful for your Son and your love. We've heard over and over again that Jesus took our place on the cross and that he paid for our sin by his death, and that we have forgiveness of sins and new life through Jesus. And so we thank you for the testimony of each of these people, how they have declared their faith. And so today, by your power and by your name, we put our hand upon them and we ask for you to change their heart and change their mind and lead them that they'll follow you. And so we commit them to you, that their lives will honor you, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll go with them when times are low and when times are high, and they will trust in you and your faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a great, great week. Thank you for joining us to worship Jesus today.